Okay. Today we want to teach a very important subject. And the subject matter is justification. We're going to do that out of Romans chapter
3.
So we're going to read a small piece to help us.
And
it will be Romans chapter 3 from 21 to 31, 10 verses. We're going to read two verses at a time in English, and then Aubrey's going to read two verses after that in Chichewa. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith.
Kabina Mungu ndiye wa Yuda oka oka godi, si wa wa amirundu godi, ea wa amirundunso. Ngaji ndiye Mungu mmozi amene adzawayesa amdulidwe olungama ndi chikhulupiriro ndi akudulidwa mwa chikhulupiriro.
And the last verse says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. While we do the teaching, we have to ask you questions. We're not asking you to see how learned you are or to put you on the spot. But we desire that you may be taught further and understand the things that we teach. It would be silly for me to stand here and teach you while you're not understanding.
Zikazimu zopusa nzopanda pindu kuti ndimeutso gogo ndzingo panga phokoso kuti ndikufunzisa komaliza kaze kuti sizina mveke.
And not receiving the instruction that the word is teaching us.
Ndiposa khoza kulandira malamulo amene malemba akufuna kuti atiphunzise.
So I want you to open your heart, your understanding.
So ndikupempha kuti mutsekule mitima yanu, mutsekule makutu anu, mumvetsere mwachidwi.
And I don't want you to feel like you are not able to answer because you think the answer may not be correct.
So
my first question would be this. What is the definition of justification?
Kodi mau odi kulungamitsa kapena chilungamitso atakhauzanje kulungamitsa.
Can someone help me?
Unaga kuzothandiza kapena?
God word speaks much about justification.
Mamorenga malemba ambuye ndazambia makamasa chilungamo chilungamo kulungamitsa kulungamitsa.
It's a term that has much meaning.
Ndipo ndi mau amene ndizathozola likulu kwambiri.
There's also sanctification.
Aliso kuyeretsa.
But today we're going to focus on justification. Can someone help me with the term justification? What do you think that means? Do I need to pick someone?
Yeah.
Okay. Does someone
want to
put his hand
up?
Does nobody want to try? What do you think justification means? Maybe you all say today, we don't know. But that's okay. That would be honest. That's why I'm here. I'm not here to tell nice stories. Do you want to try? No. Okay. So let's conclude that this is a word for everyone here today that is very challenging. Would I be correct? Yes,
no. I need
your
help.
Okay. Let me help you with the word justification. Because if the word justification is a difficulty for us, we also must ask ourselves, what does salvation mean? Because justification is the key in salvation. Let's think about this. What's the first four letters in justification? The first four letters spell just. It's from the word justice.
The word just comes from the word justice. When it comes to Chijewa, it cannot sound the same way in English. So I'm making them understand that things might little come in this way, but I will try my as much as possible and okay. Go there.
Okay.
Mm. And she laughed, she understood, they understand what I mean. She sure. Knows something.
Sure. Go ahead. So let's think about the word justice. Let's take an example of the word justice. We have in this country laws. If someone in this village was to commit a murder, then there's a process. We will search for the man who committed murder. He will maybe go in handcuffs. And then he will be taken to jail. Yes, you understand? Why? Because he committed a crime. What's the next step? He must go before the court. And what has to happen at court?
So
he has to be tried. Evidence is needed. And there is a court of justice. Why? Because he's done this evil deed, justice must take place. He must pay for his crime. It could be a long time in jail. In some countries, it could even be the death penalty. What does all this mean? It means the family is seeking justice for the crime that he has committed. Imagine we would say, oh, well, let him go. Or we don't need justice. We'll just live on. Think if someone came into your house and just stole a big bag of coins. Would you say to him or her, oh, you want to steal my bag of corn? Go ahead, no problem. You're a nice person. No. You would maybe yell. You would be upset. You would get the community together. And what would you say? He stole my bag of corn. I want it back. That's justice. And justice is not complete until you get your court bag of corn back. And not only that, though, you might get your bag of corn back. But should that man or woman still walk free? Because he stole or stole? No. Justice must be served. He or she is a thief. And he or she should be punished. Are you following me? So not only that do you get your corn back, but there must be also a punishment for theft. We call that justice. Are you following me so far? I'm giving you an outward example. Now, that's what justice means. And now let's go to biblical terms. Justification means this: that justice must take place in the economy of salvation. You and me have committed a crime. We have rejected God and serve ourselves. That's why we are known as sinners. Me and you both. And then, not just murder and theft, but a whole bunch of accusations. Against us. And what's accusing us? What does God use to accuse us? To make us aware of our sin. to catch us. Can someone help me? What does God use? I need some help. Take a guess. If you don't know. What does God use in His Word for that?
Mungu Bible akugwisa chiro yani kuti ichitsutse kuti ifeyo tapamuna mlanga.
Hawu.
Unaka kuzo yanga kapena? God's words.
Yeah, that good. That's a good answer. God's word.
Ya kwabwi no mwa Mungu.
What else?
Wena.
What is particularly used? His messengers. His messengers, yes.
Ah, asiyachimana kuti amithenga ake.
His messengers are the ones who declare it. Very good. But what does he use? Let's ask this question again. What does he use to expose us to our sin? Can you help me?
The girl is raising her hand again.
Oh, yes. His law. Thank you very much. So he uses his law to expose us. If there was no law, there would be no sin. So he uses his law to tell me and you that we are guilty. That we are guilty of what? Of all the crimes we commit against God. Then not only in deed, but in thought, and in word. You see, now think about this. Salvation is a search. You have to go to court. And now let me ask you a question. Have you been to God's court? Have you been handcuffed and come before God's court? This is in the work of God's salvation. We can't be saved if we don't know what we have to be saved from. We cannot receive salvation. We cannot receive pardon if we don't know what we have done. That's why he has his law. You see, so now what has to happen? In the work of justification, you come before God's law. You come in the court of God. If you've never been there, this messenger is bringing you there right now. That's the work. That's my work. Is to expose us all. My work is not to say, God is good. You're doing good job. Keep singing. Keep trying.
Right?
Be a nice person. You're so nice. You're going to heaven. If you say you love Jesus, you're going to heaven. That's not the work of
God.
A lot of people do that. And everyone gets really relaxed. They feel good. And in that way, their conscience, they think, trying to put away my conscience. But that's not the preaching of God's word. The preaching of God's word exposes. It is very painful. is painful for all of us. Because we get exposed. See, you have to come before God's court. And you may do that now. While I'm preaching this, I mean in your heart. God is exposing you. When we open His Word. That's what Paul is doing here in Romans. Paul is not saying all kinds of nice, warm, fuzzy things. He's telling us something that we need to know. So let's go a step further. We come before God's court. Now God, we know, is the judge. Not me. I'm not judging you. I am one of you. But God is the judge. Let's go to God. And let's ask God. Who is the judge? If we stand before God, the judge God at this very moment, God says only one thing. Let me help you a little more. We said the law is exposing you. And justice must be done. See, the law is condemning you. You're a sinner. And you're exposed. You have lied. You are to your mother. You have lied to your father.
You want
to
know about what?
And to your teacher. What happened?
Sometimes I lie.
Yes. See, it's condemning you.
You have
cheated on your husband. Sadly, we have no husbands here amongst you. But Aubrey and I are husbands. So God has said to us, you have cheated against your wife. You say, what? No. Evangelist doesn't do that. My friends, we are guilty against the whole law of God. Because the Pharisees, they were saying, no, we're not like that. And you know what the Lord Jesus said? He says this. The law says you shall not commit adultery. But I say this, says the Lord Jesus. Even if you look at a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart. See, it gets very exposed. You have stolen. And maybe someone says, I've done pretty good though. But you know what the Lord says?
Yes, I'm not good.
When you look at those bags of corn, or you look at the nice field from your neighbor, and you will say, wow, I would love to have some of that corn. Even if you don't steal it, you have already stolen it in your heart. Because you have desired it. This gets very exposing. The law beside the judge says condemned. Sinner. And then what does the judge have to do? What does the judge do in court if it's an honest court? He must pass sentence based on your crime. If your child was killed,
ngatireze mwana wanu waphedwa.
And you were in court.
Ndiye ndiwe muli court.
And the judge said,
yes,
this man is guilty for killing your child. But today I'm a nice judge. So I'm going to let him go. Would that be justice? No. How much more God? Who is perfect and just. Would God be able to say, oh, today I'll let you go? No. He can't do that. So that means he must condemn us for our crimes. So you stand there. Now what? The law says you're a sinner. The judge says, you must go lost. You must be punished. What is the punishment? What is God's punishment for sin? Help me. Someone help me. What is God's punishment for our sin? You can help me. You know. Just try. Going to hell. That's his punishment. He's saying to every one of us today, away from me, into eternal hellfire, where you will burn. And where you will be tormented forever. So that's it. That's my message today. We are all condemned to hell. So now we can go home. Because there's no use going further. Unless there's someone here who has done perfect. Then you can go to heaven. Is there anyone here who's been perfect his whole life? Done very good? No, right? So we'll have a problem. We're all going to hell. To be punished forever. You see, why am I telling you this? Because I want to bring justification, the word justification, closer to you. See, because many people think justification or justice can be accomplished by something I do. Many religions are professing this. And many people are preaching. And saying you must do better. Reading the Ten Commandments. And saying you have to do much better. And if you try hard, then you maybe can go to heaven. That's what everyone's preaching. But it's a lie. Paul is teaching us here a different way. It's not based on you. There's nothing you can do to go to heaven. That's why he says, not by works, but by faith. So, and we read verse 21. Let's read it again now. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So now let's go a step further. What does justification mean then? Because God is calling you, my friends, I want to spare you from a false hope.
My heart is painful. Because I know even some of you today here, maybe all of you, have a false hope for eternity. And have not come here to Malawi to confirm your works or your faith outside of Christ. That's why I want to help you. So pay attention. We are before God. And now God says, or the law says, condemned. Now God must execute justice. Because he is the author of justice. He is just. He doesn't have even the smallest little bit of mistake in him. An earthly judge could even make a mistake. Because he's not perfect. But God is perfect, so he can't make any mistakes. Are you following me? You're following it? So he can't make a mistake. He must execute judgment on each of us here today. But what is he doing? What is he doing with his word? He's making us aware of something today. He's making us aware of something we don't know by nature. He's telling us that justice must prevail. So that means he's condemning us to eternal hellfire. How can you now find justification? What way is possible for you to be a sinner, who we are, we already established that, and yet be justified? Are you following me? So how can we be a sinner, condemned to death? That's justice. Be a sinner, and at the same time be justified as if you are not a sinner. Someone help me. How can you be a sinner and yet at the same time no longer be a sinner? How is this possible? Someone help me.
When you ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. But, okay. So now we ask. So we stand before God. Who is the judge? And we say, forgive us. Can he forgive you? No. He can't forgive you. Because then he would no longer be just. Imagine you committed murder. And the judge says in the court, not guilty. And you just say, forgive me. And the judge says, okay.
I
don't look at that.
Would that be possible? No.
Aye.
Because justice would not be served. He has to pay for his crime. Otherwise, justice would not be served. See, this is a mystery. And I want you to listen so carefully. Because if this does not come in your heart, you may think you're going to heaven, but when you die, you will find out you're going to hell. Because you were never justified. Let's go again. The sinner says, forgive me. And we hear that with God there is forgiveness. So now it is a mystery. How can I be truly forgiven while God stays just? There's gotta be a way that God can still maintain his justice, maintain his justice, and let the sinner go free. Let me say it again. This is so important. God's justice must be maintained. It can't alter. He's the justifier. Yet there's a way in which the sinner, you and me, can go free while he maintains his justice. This is the power of the gospel. In the doctrine of justification.
You see,
there's only one way that God can maintain his justice and let the sinner go free. Because you have to remember, the law of God is just. And it's condemning the sinner. The law is saying condemned. Sinner. Sinner. Murderer. Robber. Stealer. He's condemning you. But how do we get that law to stop saying that? Because we have to admit the law is right. Even your conscience inside is saying right now, the law is right. The law is not lying. I'm a sinner. Everything that the law says is condemning me. But you stand there. How do we get out of this mess? You see, there's only one way. And that is that God, the judge, transfers your guilt onto someone else and makes that person guilty. This is the gospel. So God, to maintain his justice, must take your guilt off of you and apply it to someone else. Someone has to pay to maintain justice. Who did that?
Christ.
Jesus Christ, which is God's Son. How did that happen? See, Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And he was not a sinner. But he took the sins of guilty people upon himself. He says this, give me all your sins. Give me all your guilt. And I will die for you. That's the gospel. But how then is it applied? Because it's not automatic. God is not just taking all of our sins. Jesus Christ does not just take automatically and goes to the cross. Because if you're not guilty, then you say, I don't have sins. I'm righteous. We're making ourselves righteous. Then you have no use for Christ. But if you're guilty, and you're a sinner, then you can, this is what we call this, in biblical terms, we call this imputation. That means imputing your sin on Christ. And then what? Christ went to the cross.
Yes,
and he is the justifier. Now let me ask you a question. If you're following me, the Holy Spirit is working in your soul, you can help me with this. If my sin is imputed on Jesus Christ at the cross, what gets imputed on me in return? No, because the law is by itself condemning you. You're being condemned for your sins. The sins are taken away from you and laid on Christ at the cross. He's going to suffer and die. When he suffers and dies and takes away your curse, what do you get in return? What's the gift of God in Christ? What do you get in return? That's justice, but you get something. You get a gift. And it's from Christ. What is that gift?
Bless.
Okay, let me help you a little bit further. I'm thankful for your answer. It's called righteousness. Which means this. You are free to go.
Then, Chiero Chicago, we must go over and do a whole year. Uma Ronald Baskozola,
As if you have no more sin. You are a free person. And it's called righteousness. See, now the judge is looking at you. And he says, you are perfect. That's astounding, isn't it? He's saying you are 100% perfect now. The judge sees no more sin in you. You are pure and perfect. Isn't that amazing? How is that possible? Because all of your sins and your curse has been transferred to Jesus on the cross. Now, how does this happen to you and me? How can we be justified before God? What we read in Romans chapter 3 gives us the answer. Now let's read again verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now go to verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, Christ, that he might be just, the sinner, and the justifier of him which believeth him in Jesus. So to be justified in God's eyes also requires something from us. It requires only one thing. What is that? It requires on our part one thing. In order to be justified in the eyes of God, there's one thing that is required. So it's not to do the law. That's not a requirement of salvation. It's not to get better. To try harder. To go to church. To read the Bible. That's not going to justify us. That's works. That's not justification. What is required then? If going to church and stop sinning and all of these things are not required. What is the one thing that's required? Help me. I know maybe this is a little bit difficult, but I need the work of the Holy Spirit to sanctify this to your soul. And he's willing and able today to justify you. But if you don't know what it means, how can you be justified? So help me. What's one thing? That one requirement from you and me. Somebody help me. Please help me. I need you to consider this. We just read it. Shall we read it again?
To To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let me help you one step further in verse
27.
Wherefore is boasting then, and is excluded? By what law? Of works? No, nay, but by the law of
faith.
What is required?
This one is raising a hand. I will not must have faith, must possess faith.
Yes. Faith. Faith is required. But let me help you one step further. Keep it in your mind. May it come to your heart. Faith is not to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You might believe that. But you understand what that means. You see, the devils believe and they shudder. What are you believing? What does faith believe into? My friends, if you have faith, what does it believe into? Can you help me? Faith believes into something. Many people say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they think they're saved. Just believing that he is the Lord Jesus is not going to save you. We believe into something. What do we believe when we come to faith in Christ? It must go further.
Someone is raising their hand as well.
Yes.
Who believes that Christ washed away all our sins?
Yes. Yes, that is that's the source. But then we also believe. So what this young woman says is correct. But faith must also believe that Jesus Christ is the justifier. In my place. He take my sins. My curse. And made payment on my behalf. And what was the payment? His suffering and death. Either you have to make payment with death. Eternally. Eternally hellfire. Either you have to pay. And you can pay. Not with money. Not with coin. You will pay by eternally, forever, being tormented. That's payment. Or someone else will make your payment for you. Which is Jesus Christ. Now I need you to, maybe you say, oh, that's not difficult. But there's a problem. And I need to tell you something. Paul is saying here, where is boast in verse 27? Where is boasting then? And then he says, it is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith.
You
see, this is the point. You have nothing to boast of. You have nothing to be proud of. See, so many people, when you ask them, and maybe you too, what are you saved from? What is your salvation?
But
a lot of people say this. I used to drink beer, but I don't drink beer. I used to steal in the field, but I don't do that anymore. I used to be a bad person, but I don't do that anymore. Paul is saying this. That's not your salvation. That would be boasting. That would be saying this. I used to do bad things, but now I'm a good person. That's not salvation. And that's not justification. See, we must understand something. It's by grace alone that God sends His salvation to you and me. To preach this, it's in Christ alone. There's only one boasting, and that is to boast in Christ. Who is Christ for you? Is Christ your Savior? Has He justified you?
Why?
By His cross work. Are you justified by faith? It means this. I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ has taken all of my sins to the grave. He's taken all my guilt to the grave. I believe that He suffered and died in my place. But I also believe this. I should have suffered and died. I should be punished for all of my sins. But now Christ came to my heart. And He said, I will take all of your sins. And I will take the punishment for you. Lord, will you? Will you do that for me? Why? I'm guilty. Are you guilty? And Christ says to each one of us today, if you come to me, I can justify you before the holy judge. Maybe you've never ever been justified. And maybe you have been so busy justifying yourself. And I know you say maybe, no, I don't think I'm justifying myself. But you want me to tell you an example of self-justification? Everyone here today who believes that they are keeping the law is not justified by faith. Either you're justified by faith, or the law is continuously condemning you. Which means this. It means this. Everyone who thinks that because I go to church and because I read the Bible, that's why they're saved, is wrong. It's not why you're saved. That's why I tell you, if you are saved by through grace, and if you are justified by faith alone, what are you going to begin to do? What is the fruit of that? You're going to start speaking to your children and telling your children that they are sinners. Not that they're going to heaven. But that they are sinners. And tell your children this. That they need to be also be justified through faith. You're going to speak to your husband. And you're going to speak words of Christ to your husband. Maybe your husband comes home drunk. What do you do? Are you angry? Because he's coming home drunk? See, that's not grace. Do you go on your knees? And pray for him? If God will also open his eyes? Because you say, I've been saved by grace alone. It's not something I accomplished. That means your drunk husband also doesn't need to accomplish something. He needs justification by faith also. And your sister, your family, whom you're angry with. You see, because if someone came to your house to steal corn, what are you doing? Let's be honest. And answer this in your own heart. Someone comes to your house to steal corn. What are you doing? What would you do? The very first thing you might do is get a stick and start beating him or her. Now listen carefully. If you have been saved by grace, can this person also not be saved by grace? Why don't you tell this person the gospel? When someone comes to the borehole and you reject that person and gossip about the person, can this person not be saved too? If you are saved by grace, not in anything you did, not by works, not by trying, but by mercy of God, and by hearing the word that I'm telling you today, why can your neighbor not be saved? You know so many people say? Because she's a prostitute. She can't be saved. She goes into Chadzunda. And is a prostitute. She's a bad person. That's what we want to say. And that's how we act. I go to church. But my neighbor's a prostitute. She's going to hell. I'm not a prostitute. I go to church. And you think your salvation is based on that. And it's not. It's by grace alone. So if you have been saved by grace, justified in the person and work of Jesus Christ, then so can your neighbor. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Paul is saying in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And now let's go to verse 28 to finish. Because here's a conclusion. It says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So let me conclude something. In Paul's words. Not mine. We conclude something. justification.
Kulungamitsirwa.
To be just before the living God.
Kuti wewe wakhale tsopano olunga pamaso pa Mulungu.
To be perfect before.
Kuti ukhale woyera pamaso pa Mulungu.
Requires faith.
Zikufunika chikhulupiriro.
In the person of Jesus Christ.
Ukhulupirire munthu ndi chiyeso chimene Yesu anachita.
Who became the justifier.
Amene achedwa tsopano olungamitsa.
For sinners.
Kwa anthu ochimwa.
Not for himself.
Osati kudzilungamitsa iye mwini.
But for sinners.
Koma kulungamitsa ochimwa.
So sinners can be saved.
Kuti ochimwa today. Lero.
Sinners can be saved today.
Ochimwa apulumutsidwe lero.
Not by trying to be better.
Osali kumayesera sera ndikhale wabwino.
Not by trying to change your life.
Osali kuyesa kusintha moyo wanu.
But by believing today.
Koma kukhulupirira mwa iye lero.
That Jesus Christ.
Kuti Yesu Kristu amene.
Has taken all of your guilt.
Wachotsa chisalungama changa chonse.
To the cross.
Watenga zimene zapatsa patana.
And therein justified you from the law.
Ndiye wandilungamitsa kuchita mulo.
So that the law is now quiet.
Sabano chilamulo chakhala cheche.
So that the law is still.
Chilamulo chupitirirabe pechilili.
One more thing.
Chinthu chimodzi.
To help you understand one more thing.
Kuti kuthandizeni kumvetsetsa.
Why is the law quiet?
Ndifanyani lamulo lakhala cheche.
Because you see, let's just take this lady as an example.
Tiregese aje mariya wakhale ngati chisadzo, tikuti chisadzo chabe.
The law says sinner.
Lamulo likunena kuti maiwe ndi wochimwa.
Condemned.
Wotsutsidwa.
Murder.
Iwe ndi womphwa kupha.
See.
Ndi womphwa kupha.
And keeps going.
Ndiye lamulo kupita kukusha.
Condemned.
Wotsutsidwa. Wotsutsidwa. Olakwa. Olakwa.
But how can the law be quiet now?
Ndiye lamulo kuti likhale chete lisiye kukutsutsa ndi machina chani.
By faith.
Mwachikhulupiriro.
In Jesus Christ.
Mwa Yesu Khristu.
And what does he do?
Yesu alikuita chani.
He stands between you.
Yesu akubwera kudzayima patsogolo pa iweyo.
You see the law.
Ndera mulori kati kubaya sonto dziko losabe kuti iwe ndiwe hule iwe ndonyo limakhala na pesa Yesu sokana re kutsogolo kwako.
When Jesus Christ is standing there.
Yesu akai motsogolo kwako.
In your place.
Malo mwako.
Can the law say to Jesus Christ condemned?
La mulori kati kuza kumuloza Yesu kumuza Yesu kuti iwe ndiwe hule iwe ndiwe chimwa mwa muloza Yesu.
No. Suddenly the law says this. I don't see her anymore.
Ndera mulori mani kuti uja ochimwa uja mene mai mai na mbuya sindi kumuonasa.
But I see Jesus Christ.
Ndikuona kwa Yesu sokana
pa. And the law says.
Ndera mulori makhala chete kuti mawu aja kuti ochimwa odani chisinengaloze uchimwa.
No more condemnation.
Palibenso kutsutsidwa apa.
Because I see the justifier.
Chifukwa mulungamitsi ndikumuona.
Because Jesus Christ becomes in your place.
Chifukwa makhala kuti mmalo mwako Yesu Khristu abwera kudzayimamo iwe wachoka.
And you can go free.
Iwe wahandwe mfulu basi zipita.
By faith today.
Ndikuti zimachitika mwachikhupiriro lero zochitika mwachikhupiriro.
My dear friends.
Abale ako kondedwa.
I don't know if I will be back here.
Sindikudziwa ngati tsiku ndasonga ngwa dzalo ndibwere somawani.
We may never see each other again.
Mwina sindidzaona naso.
But I take you to witness today.
Koma ndikufuna kuti ndaroli, Ambuya achitira umboni kuti mawu yawo ndakusambira mmanja.
God is witness.
Mulungu achitira umboni.
His word is the witness.
Mawu yawo ndenya mlao achitira umboni.
That if you reject this salvation.
Kuti ngati inu muchikane chipulumutso ichi.
This way of life.
Mawu yawo anjira yachipulumutso.
It will eternally condemn you. You can never say after today. God did not provide a way for me to hear the truth. You can never say after today. I didn't know the way of salvation. But one thing must take place in your life today. You must be justified through faith. And if you are not justified through faith, I assure you this, you will not be justified by works. And you may say, why are you saying these things? Why are you pressing it so much? Do you know why? Because when I go to a funeral in the village and the man or woman is being laid in the grave, every time I hear the same thing, this man He tried his best. He took care of his family. So what? So what? You're putting him in heaven because of that? He went every week to church. She was a good mother. So what? Who cares? You're deceiving yourself. It's not going to put you in heaven. This woman, she took care of the community. She gave much away. So what? Do you think God cares? No! God is not putting this person in heaven because this woman was a good woman in the community. This man, he was a great pastor. So what? If you're a great pastor, are you going to heaven because you're a great pastor? This man, and you say with tears, he did so much good for the community. He went to church. He built his wife a house. He was such a good example for the community. So what? Why are you saying this? So that you can put him in heaven? I assure you something. If that's why he's going to heaven, if that's why that mother is going to heaven, we will all be up for a big surprise. Because we will all stand on the judgment day. And none of that will have any merit for heaven. But sinners, justified by faith in Jesus Christ alone, will go to heaven. That means at a funeral. You can only say this. This man, this woman, was a sinner saved by grace because he testified of the faith in Jesus Christ. And he's not a good person in himself. That's why he's going to rot. I'm not a good person. This body's going to go. It has to rot. And go back to dust. This body is not justified. But yours, my soul. That's what it's about. And faith believes in the heart, not actions. I hope today that you've been hearing something that will change your life today. Because God says, by hearing, not by doing. Faith cometh by hearing. And I tell you about a Christ who's willing to forgive all of your sins, who's willing to be your justification. But it's only by faith. You believe this day because the power of this word has come in your heart, and the Holy Spirit was freely given accompanies this in your heart. You and God. You and Him alone may have a meeting. And you may be justified. The punishment taken away. And you may be saved by grace alone. And if you believe today, if you come to faith today,
in Jesus Christ,
Yesu Kristo,
in Him,
mwaiye,
your life will change. You don't have to try.
So kuti mwesele.
You don't have to do anything. But the wonder of Jesus Christ in your heart will begin to transform you. When before you became angry at everything, now you become soft and tender of heart. There's nothing you do. There's nothing you try. You don't have to go to the hospital for an operation. But it's the operation of the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in you. I'm calling you one last time. You reject this salvation that's being preached to you. If you reject justification by faith alone and continue trying to make yourself saved by works, you'll go eternally lost. But if you believe in the power of the cross, justification in Christ alone, and He becomes your Savior today, you may eternally go free. And that starts today. God bless it to your soul.